Welcome to a special edition of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The setting of today's story is the living room of the Chapman home. This is where Maisie lives with her mom and dad and her grandfather, Ethan Davies. Professor Davies is reading Luke 2 verse 7 as he wraps up family worship.
She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them.
No lodging.
Just another way of saying that there was no room for them in the inn.
Would someone have found a place for him if they knew who Jesus was?
That's a good question, and one I often wonder about. Let me tell you a story about what might have happened with that innkeeper.
Visitors to Bethlehem are rare these days, but you, seeking shelter, remind me of a night long ago, a night that changed the world, though I knew it not at the time. I was but a simple innkeeper, tending to my duties in this modest establishment. Bethlehem was bustling, teeming with people who had come for the census decreed by Caesar Augustus. Every room in my inn was filled, every corner occupied. The air was thick with the chatter of weary travelers, the clinking of coins, the laughter, and the sighs of the tired. We are near the city gate, the entry point for caravans and merchants. Given our prime location, we are a popular place for those seeking shelter. Caesar's decree has certainly brought the whole world to our doorstep. Every room is full. I can't remember the last time we had this many guests.
It's good for business, but I do worry we'll run out of bread and wine. I've never seen the inn so lively.
My friends, you have a fine establishment here. It's not every day you find such a welcoming place, with a warm bed and a hearty meal.
Thank you, kind sir. We do our best to make everyone comfortable, especially in these busy times.
I just hope we have enough blankets for everyone. It's a cold night, and more travelers might still come.
Your kindness is already more than we could have asked for. It's not easy traveling with little ones, but you've made us feel at home.
We're here to serve. But I must admit, I'm not sure where we'd put anyone else who shows up tonight. Even if they have a sack full of gold.
What are we going to do? There's simply no more room.
I guess I'll have to tell them we're full. It's the hardest part of the job on nights like these. I open the door to find a couple, weary from travel. The woman heavy with child. How could a woman, so advanced in her pregnancy, be out on a night like this? The look in the man's eyes, a mixture of desperation and determination, spoke volumes. There was a flicker of fear, perhaps a reflection of the unknown journey ahead. But it was overshadowed by a fierceness, born of love and protectiveness. He held his head high, defying my unspoken judgment, and his gaze pleaded silently for a haven for his family. It was a look that demanded compassion. A look that refused to be turned away. The look in the woman's eyes haunts me still. Her eyes held a quiet desperation, a plea for shelter, a place to rest. But what could I do? The inn was filled to the brim. There was no room to spare.
Good evening, sir. Do you have any rooms available? My wife is with child, and we've traveled a long way.
I'm sorry, my friend. We have no rooms left. The census has brought more people than we can accommodate. Have you tried any of the places near the marketplace, along the main road, or near the public buildings?
We have tried them all.
Is there anywhere we could rest? Even a small corner would do.
Mary, we need a proper room.
I'll take anything that is warm and dry.
What if the baby comes tonight?
The Almighty will be with us.
My wife was touched by the woman's plight. She pulled me aside.
Maybe there's something we can do.
What do you have in mind?
What about the stable?
It's dark and smelly and cramped.
But it's clean and it's safe.
Fine.
Bless you.
Is there anything you can do for us?
We have a stable out back. It's not much, but it's sheltered and warm. You're welcome to stay there if you like.
Thank you. We're grateful for any shelter you can provide.
I led them there, little knowing who they were, who the child would be. And then I returned to entertain my guests in the inn. The night passed, and in the morning, word spread that a baby had been born in my stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. People said angels had announced his birth to shepherds, that a star shone brightly above. But I, consumed by my own affairs, paid little heed. It was a story, a peculiar one, but a story nonetheless. Years rolled on, and the memory of that night faded like a distant dream. Life here was hard, filled with its own burdens and griefs. I lost my wife to illness, and later, my two sons, in a rebellion against the Romans. The pain of those losses gnawed at me, a constant reminder of how cruel life could be. Then, one day, a man came to my inn, a man with a face marked by time and trials, yet his eyes held a depth of peace I had rarely seen. He introduced himself as John, a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. My mind raced back to that night, to the baby in the manger. Could it be the same Jesus? John spoke of his master, of miracles and teachings, of love and forgiveness. He told me of Jesus' death on a cross and of his resurrection, proclaimed as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. My heart stirred as he spoke. Could it be that the child born in my stable was indeed the Messiah? John's words pierced my soul. He spoke of redemption, of a love so profound it embraced even the most broken. He talked about how Jesus had taken upon himself the pain and sin of the world. As he spoke, I saw in his eyes a reflection of the love he described. I confided in John about that night, about my regret for offering nothing more than a stable. I told him of my losses, my pain, the emptiness that had haunted my life. John listened, his gaze never waning. When I had finished, he placed a hand on my shoulder. "The Master's love reaches even here," he said. "He was born in a humble place so that no one would feel too lowly to come to him. Your stable was the first welcome he received." I broke then, tears streaming down my aged cheeks. I realized that in the ordinariness of my life, I had been part of something extraordinary. The baby I had sheltered in my stable was the King of Kings, born to bring hope to a weary world. John stayed with me that night, and we talked long into the hours. He told me more about Jesus, about the life he lived, the people he loved, the sacrifice he made. My heart, long hardened by grief, began to soften, to feel a glimmer of something long forgotten. Hope. Now, as I sit here, an old man reflecting on the years gone by, I see how that night, the night I offered a stable, was a night of divine appointment. In my simple act, there was a part of God's grand plan, a plan that spanned from a manger in Bethlehem to a cross on Calvary and beyond. So, to you, weary travelers seeking shelter, I say this. Open your hearts as I opened my stable. You never know when you might be entertaining angels or even the King of Kings.
Christmas Perspectives will continue next time.